Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Panic on the streets of London. Panic on the streets of Birmingham. I wonder to myself, could life ever be same again?
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
Basically, this is an insult to my integrity. Received another email from Mr. Andrade, dated on July 21st. Last night, you said you never engaged in negotiations with Mr. Collins. I believe the council deserves to know whether you did. In fact, make Mr. Collins an offer of $135,000, as he indicated to Andrew McKay last night. I'm sorry, I don't know who Andrew McKay is. I'd also like to know how Mr. Collins was made aware of the placeholder amount I put in the first draft I sent you. Why did he think I wanted to offer him $128,000?
Best promo ever.
I also don't know who Andrew McKay is.
Yeah, nobody's ever heard of him. That was great. I love it. So this is Mike Cusack, City Councilman Mike Cusack.
Wait, so you're evidence?
I'm yes.
Great.
In the our news guy Joe Ford and I were at lunch yesterday, and he made the comment. He's like, "You're named like 10 times in this backup packet for the meeting." I'm like, "I know, it's so awkward."
Wait till the movie gets made.
Oh my
god! Who's
gonna play me? Yes, because I did the interview with Scott Collins.
Right.
Because I got all this information from him and perspective from him that nobody else quite seemed to have, and so you know, like for example, that Scott told me that Mike offered him 135, specifically saying, Alex wants to offer you 128. I'm offering, you know, 135. We're going to go with what I want to do before Alex had even talked to him. Again, that was, weird. Scott, yeah, I don't know how that happened. That was Scott Collins' allegation, and I didn't have reason to believe that he was telling me anything other than the truth. Now, Mike completely denies this, or at least he kind of imply that it wasn't true. I know who I believe. Okay. I found Scott Collins to be incredibly reliable as a, you know, affiant, so to speak. But anyway, going on, this was the reason they called the meeting, is to talk about the unprofessional behavior by Alex Andrade, the reason that Heather Lindsay, the mayor, called it. And so he goes on about things like the timing of the text that came in from Alex.
Then I proceeded to get texts from our attorney. The first one at 10:33 at night on Thursday the 20th.
How dare he?
And I'll just read it. I got it here. Why did Scott think I was going to offer him $128,000? I never discussed salary with him and only ever shared that number as a placeholder with you. Another text that came at 5:36 in the morning on the 21st. So I'm being basically, in my opinion, harassed at 10:30 at night and at 5:30 in the morning.
It's still an unanswered question. How did Scott Collins know that Alex intended to offer 128 when the only thing he ever actually did offer him was 130, which was higher? How would he know that? Where would he get that information from? Because the only people who knew 128 was going to be, was the starting discussion, and then it was actually going to be 130, were Alex and Mike, right? So how would he know something like that? Interesting.
I never responded to any of these texts because they were basically derogatory towards me. I've just about had it.
Okay, which was funny because later on he complained that Alex didn't respond to him in his texts right away. But okay, fine. Now here's where it gets interesting. Okay, so far it's just drama. But it starts to get very interesting when Mike Cusack starts reading from the text messages he and Scott Collins had. Apart from Alex, without Alex, prior to Alex even having a conversation with Scott.
I'm going to read you a text between myself and Scott Collins. And I reached out to him by text on 7/12 at 5:46 p.m. Hi, Scott. How did your call with the city attorney go? Anyone else on the call? Thanks. And my name, Mike Cusack. His response at 5:49 p.m. on the 12th. I haven't talked to him. He just sent me an email confirming a call for 10 a.m. tomorrow I'll forward that to you in just a few minutes. I would certainly feel better if he had scheduled it with you. I'm not going to talk with him without your involvement. My response to him, okay, I will see if I can get on that call. Thanks. Have a good evening. All good. This city will take the helm.
Yeah, and that's the Wednesday after the Tuesday meeting where they hired Scott Collins. Alex hasn't even talked to him yet, and they're having these text messages back and forth. Okay? We'll get to the rest of this in a second, because this does get very interesting. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
All right. And watching a couple of areas of concern, I-10 westbound at mile marker 11 looks like a fatality. So they're showing the inside lane is blocked at that point, and that is I-10. Westbound at mile marker 11, just on the other side of the Car City exit. The inside lane is blocked due to a fatality that happened earlier this morning. We're also watching Highway 90, almost in the same area where they were doing paving earlier. It seems like it's slow in that area, and it seems like it's now cleared up. Okay, so if you see an accident or have a traffic tip or see some construction, let us know, 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So back to the special call meeting last night to embarrass Alex Andrade by Heather Lindsay, in which Mike Cusack, city councilman, who is tasked to be the liaison with Alex in the negotiations with Scott Collins to become city manager, is reading the text messages that he had been sending back and forth with Scott Collins before Alex even had a conversation with Scott. And Alex is the primary negotiator, right? He's the main person. He's the attorney, the representative of the city.
And then another reply to him on today, 21 p.m., Scott, even if I am not on a call tomorrow between me and you and the fence post, I would talk with Andrade. If you don't, he will report you as being uncooperative.
Why is he telling him that he's got to be careful to talk to Alex? Otherwise, Alex is going to tattle on him and call him uncooperative. Oh, but it gets better.
Just in case, ignore. I'm telling you what I wrote. I'm not trying to hide anything. Just in case, ignore a salary lowball if he puts it out there.
What?
It is not his decision. It is the council's, and I am the guy with the responsibility. Don't let the process get to you. A good place to be in a bright future is forthcoming.
Don't accept a salary lowball from the attorney if he offers it to you?
Who said that?
This is Mike Cusack, the city council member of Milton, telling the potential hire not to accept a low ball offer from the guy who's been designated to negotiate for the city. He's negotiating against the city as a councilman at this point. Is there another way to read that? The city attorney, I think he might offer you a low offer. Don't accept it. You can do better than that.
You've never had that happen?
But in a... This
I guess
is,
not in an official city capacity.
No, but this so is but this sense, is yeah. Like the guy who's representing the corporation is telling the employee to not accept the lower offer that he thinks the actual designated representative of the company is going to offer. This is not a breach of duty. This is not an ethics violation. This is
since
weird.
You paint it like that, it seems like a friendly aside, but you're right. It probably...
He's telling him to expect an antagonistically low offer and don't accept it. He's lowballing you, which is 100% compatible with what I told you Scott Collins told me, which is that he told him, Alex wants to make it 128, but I'm going to give you 135. It's consistent with what I've reported to you, something that Mike Cusack keeps not saying happened. But this is very consistent with that. If he had previously told him, I don't know, in a phone call, hey, I'm going to offer you 135. And then he says, Alex is going to come back with 128 or something lowball, don't accept it. My God.
And his response to me at 8:51, yes, sir, I'll be glad to speak with him as long as you're okay with it. I just want to stay within my boundaries. I will let you know how it goes. My response to him, perfect. Please speak with him. I may be on it anyway. We'll see.
Okay, no problem with that.
Scott, no issue. This is me. I sent him on 13th, on 9:13 in the morning on the 13th. No, Scott, no issues on call with the attorney. He's telling me he's just gathering information. No need to mention to him about myself being on the call. Thanks in my name.
So he's kind of now strategizing with him. You know, you don't need to ask for me to be on the call because it doesn't sound like the call is going to be about anything, which is what it wasn't about. It was about nothing. It was about details.
This is from him to me. I will call you early afternoon. You should know that the effort to undermine this is apparently real. A hint was given to me last night from another source. That info was also conveyed to Tennessee and to be given to me. You work with an interesting group. And then my reply to him, feel free to give me a call if you have any questions about anything. The citizens of Milton need a leader like yourself.
I didn't really think much of that on the first pass when I was listening to Mike read this live during the meeting. But put yourself in this position. You've got the guy who's trying to get the job is texting with the city councilman about the circumstances around this hiring process. And he says, hear it again.
You should know that the effort to undermine this is apparently real. A hint was given to me last night from another source.
That didn't just come out of the ether. That's not something you just randomly text to somebody from nowhere. That's a follow-up to a conversation they must have already had where somebody was telling Scott that there was an effort to undermine him. So either Mike told him there was an effort to undermine him, and he is now texting back, hey, what you said the other night, bro, that's real. They are trying to undermine me. I've heard from somebody else. Or somehow in the conversation it had come up, and it was a concern, and now he's confirming it. But it sounds to me like the most plausible thing, because the way he responds is as if to something Mike had said to him before. So now it sounds like Mike's making offers. Mike's negotiating against the city. Mike is warning him that there's an effort to undermine all of this afoot. I'm not a lawyer. I don't know what the standards of ethics violations would be. But this looks really bad for Mike Cusack. And I am still willing to give people the benefit of the doubt. I don't know everything. But the more it comes, and he's reading it, right? I'm not me interpreting or anything. This is him reading it. Plus, also, there were texts. Those texts should have been disclosed to Alex, or just generally the fact that there was communication, because Alex kept asking, I don't know what's gone wrong here. I don't know what happened. I keep trying to find out, and nobody will tell me even who's been talking with him. Well, clearly Mike Cusack had been talking to him a bunch on text and in the phone, at one time at least on the phone. So just, stay tuned. Because what they thought last night was going to be a get Alex Andrade meeting, I think may have unintentionally become a, Alex isn't the one that needs to be gotten here. And I don't know. Again, we'll see. But just when you think it's safe to go back in the drama, oh my goodness. 437-1620, I'm Andrew McKay.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
The cost of health care is all in the news. Tune in tomorrow morning at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as ProHealth will be the guest and discussing how ProHealth medical membership programs can help you take the stress and costs out of health care. That's tomorrow morning at 10 as ProHealth is the guest on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Football season is fast approaching, and football fans are some of the most loyal fans you can find. We have all the games that the football fanatics will be hearing this season. Put your business in front of all of these consumers. Support the teams and fans like the Florida State Seminoles, UWF Argo football team, the Friday night tradition of high school football, as well as the top NCAA and NFL football games all season long. Jump into the season and make your business score with our very affordable packages. Call us today at 850-262-6000.
News Radio Pensacola, a great blend of information from local government authorities, local news, businesses, and provocative discussions with great hosts.
If I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left would be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Ride a deeper love, ride a deeper love, ride a deeper love.
love that line from Joey and Friends. It's so good. 625
on News. Oh my God.
Radio, that's just for ugly people. 625 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, amazed. Milton never, I mean, it just gets more and more is all I can say.
Don't you love it? Thank God.
I did this Facebook Live with Romy Wright from the South Santa Rosa News yesterday for a while before the meeting.
She's so great.
Yeah, and I just said, look, I wish this all would go away. I wish they would do well and be organized and run efficiently, and everybody would realize how they can be more godly, and Milton would be a great example of God's blessing in this world. I wish that would happen. I mean, it'd be more boring radio, but I would take that. It's just like when the cops come on the show and they're like, nothing happened this week. I'm like, great.
That's great.
It's bad radio, but it's good for the community, right? And I put a prayer on Facebook yesterday for Milton. I mean, a pretty extensive prayer because I believe that. And then, every prayer, sometimes the answer to prayer is no. Let's see, Candy's got traffic on the fives.
As we take a look around, we're watching a couple of accidents. One's been cleaned up, 9 Mile, and right in front of the Sacred Heart Urgent Care, actually, and that has been cleared. I hope they're okay. I-10 westbound at mile marker 11, though, and there is a fatality. This is right before the Car City exit. It is down to one lane. The inside lane is blocked, so use caution, of course, as they work on that. If you see an accident or have a traffic tip, text it in, 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. David Wayne is in the newsroom now with our headlines. David?
Hunter Biden is expected to plead guilty today to misdemeanor tax crimes. That'll be in a Delaware federal court. It'll also be his initial hearing on a felony gun charge for allegedly making a false statement on the 4473 form that you fill out to purchase a firearm, where you have to answer whether you're a user of any illegal substances. The Federal Reserve wrapping up a two-day meeting today with another interest rate hike widely expected.
Last month, policymakers pressed pause on rate hikes for the first time in 15 months. Officials have been striving to bring inflation down to 2% by increasing rates all year long. Fed Chairman Jerome Powell's post-meeting comments will likely provide insight into what's next for the central bank's policy and how it currently views the state of the economy. I'm Michael Kastner.
And, in the spirit, Andrew, of every day being something day, August 5th, do you happen to know what day that is?
Oh, no, I haven't.
It is
up.
National Mustard Day. And for this National Mustard Day on August 5th, there is a special new flavor of Skittles coming out.
No.
Mustard flavored Skittles.
Is this like the Bamboozled, the horrible tasting Jelly Bellies? Is this like what that is? Is that what they're trying to do?
I think they are under the assumption people may actually enjoy these mustard flavored Skittles.
Mustard flavored Skittles.
It's not like the booger flavored Jelly Bellies.
Oh, they're so nasty.
I'm going to put them in the snack drawer for Brentley.
Yes.
I know you like yellow.
I will say this. Okay, you know me. I will generally taste anything the one time. And if they say it's good, maybe I'm wrong. Okay. I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good to me either.
It just sounds to me like Skittles is branching out into the jelly bean market.
Oh, yeah.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620, 437-1620. If you're in the market for that next vehicle, Frontier Motors, a great place to buy good quality used cars. I know because I bought one there. And our experience was simple. We went to just test drive. Like, they just happened to have a car that we wanted to look at. Nobody else had one we could drive. So we went, we test drove it, and we liked the price. And then they came down, and they waited a day or two, and we got the car. It was simple. Before, during, and then the after the sale was the amazing part. Because I've been, bought a number of cars in my life. And typically, you feel icky. I mean, you just do. You feel like afterwards, you're like, well, thank goodness I got out there with, all my arms and my legs intact. That's how you feel. At Frontier, I did not feel that way. And in fact, they followed up with me 6 months later and asked me if there was anything wrong with the car they could fix. I'm like, no, it's good. And then a year later, anything with the car. And there was a key, just the physical key didn't work. We never used it. Obviously, it took us a year to find out. But they replaced it on them. No cost. A year after we bought the car. And I've talked to other people who, they find this or find that, and take care of it, no problem. Because they want you to buy all your cars from them, and they want to treat you kind of like a dealership in the way that taking care of you long-term kind of is their goal, because they want to sell you this car, the next car, the car after that. So Frontier Motors is just a better way to do things. Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. 437-1620, that's the number you want to dial right now if you would like to win tickets to Casey and the Sunshine Band coming to the Sanger Theater. That's right. On August 27th, just a little over a month and a day from now, you can go see them. If you're caller number three right now, Casey and the Sunshine Band at the Sanger Theater, a pair of tickets for caller number three right now. David Wayne, what do you have coming up, sir?
A local apartment complex getting several code violations. We'll have more after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. House Republicans are asking a federal judge to reject the president's son, Hunter Biden's, plea deal today.
Biden's deal with the Delaware U.S. Attorney David Weiss means he's pleading to two misdemeanor tax evasion counts and will enter a diversion program to avoid a felony gun charge. Since that deal was announced, though, two IRS whistleblowers told a congressional hearing the plan among federal prosecutors had been to charge Hunter with felonies.
Fox's Jessica Rosenthal. Voters in Ohio will decide if abortion rights should be added to the state constitution.
Abortion rights advocates have received enough signatures in Ohio to put the issue on the November ballot. Voters will decide whether to codify access to the procedure in the state up to the time a fetus is viable outside the womb. That's usually around 24 weeks or about 5.5 months into pregnancy.
Fox's Tom Graham. Iowa Supreme Court has agreed to hear an appeal over a blocked abortion ban there. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31, News Radio 92.3. It is 76 right now, partly cloudy in Pensacola this morning. An Escambia County apartment complex hit with code violations after multiple complaints from residents who described deplorable conditions.
I feel like somebody finally took notice. Code enforcement came back today. Fair housing, they were just here. Fair housing is here now.
That resident talking with Channel 3, Escambia County Code Enforcement reportedly cited Johnson Lake Apartments with five major violations, including having rats, vermin, complaints of trash and debris, and apartments not having working air conditioning. Now, several residents described that air conditioning not working, with some units apparently having indoor temps in the 90s. County Commissioner Robert Bender says his office has received dozens of complaints. Police in Atmore investigating after a fatal shooting yesterday. Police were called to Brooks Lane there for a traffic crash about 5 o'clock on Tuesday. And they say when the officers arrived, they found the driver involved in that crash had suffered gunshot wounds. The victim was taken to the hospital where they died. Investigators now working to notify the victim's family and to identify a suspect. And Pensacola police say there have been at least three incidents in the last few weeks involving anti-Semitism. Police Chief Eric Randall says they're still investigating after a brick containing markings, including a swastika and WLM, was thrown through the window at the Shabbat Jewish Center last week.
We have had some positive results from information from the community, but as always, we are asking and seeking for the community's help as we continue to work this particular incident.
And Randall says they're also continuing to look into anti-Semitic graffiti that's been popping up downtown. Charges have been dropped against the driver involved in that crash that killed 19-year-old Jadon Goines near the PCC campus last March. Assistant State Attorney Matt Gordon says that's due to a lack of evidence after that accident, which was March 21st. 59-year-old Oscar Martin had been charged with DUI manslaughter. However, they say, prosecutors say his blood work returned with no alcohol or controlled substances present. Two of those tests were done. The only possible charges would have been DUI manslaughter for impaired driving or vehicular homicide for reckless driving. Gordon says while Martin did drift out of his lane when that crash happened, ultimately they could not prove any criminal intent. And Pensacola City residents not going to be able to count on curbside recycling for too much longer. Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves announcing yesterday that the city is opting out of their recycling program.
It's mandatory recycling. Some people care very much about recycling, and that's much appreciated. Some don't, and when you have a second can, it becomes the second garbage can, and then that takes away the value and the effectiveness of the program altogether.
And Reeves says the program was well-intended, but about half of the materials that wound up in recycling cans actually wasn't recyclable. It is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Candy, what are you seeing out there?
Accident on I-10. This is I-10 westbound at mile marker 11, and they're showing a fatality, so it's down to one lane in that area. So please use caution. The inside lane is blocked. Again, I-10 westbound at mile marker 11. If you see an accident or have a traffic tip, 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
And our weather forecast for this morning, going to be hot today, a high in the mid-90s, then a bit cooler along the coast, warmer inland areas, lows down into the mid-70s tonight. Now, today, the heat index this afternoon could be up into the triple digits, so to make sure you stay hydrated and drink some water if you're going to be outside. More of the same through the rest of the week. Low rain chances. First real chance of rain coming up this weekend on Sunday. Right now we've got 76 in Pensacola, 81 in Gulf Breeze, and 73 in Milton. And our next news at 7. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kishenko with Your Money Now. Samsung Electronics' decision to unveil its latest folding phones in its home country for the first time instead of using another foreign city reflects the diverging fortunes for the world's largest smartphone maker. On the upside, South Korean consumers have embraced the gadgets, which open up like a book to a bigger screen or bend in half like a clam. The downside is they're the only ones around the world who have done so in significant numbers. The launch in Seoul today showcased the large-screen Galaxy Z Fold 5 and more compact Galaxy Z Flip 5. In prior years, Samsung held flagship launches in its biggest markets, including New York, Barcelona, San Francisco, and Berlin. Generation Z and overseas listeners helped Spotify notch its strongest ever quarter for new users, while the streaming giant reported steeper losses from podcasting cuts and higher music royalty costs. Spotify shares dropped 14% yesterday on the news. On Wall Street, futures a bit lower. That's Your Money Now.
Did you know China starts teaching financial literacy in preschool? American kids are getting left behind, but we can help at home thanks to The Sensibles, a team of animated superheroes who help kids develop smart money habits in a fun way. Each month, they get a kit in the mail with a DVD, a comic book, access to an interactive website, fun activities, and lots more. Visit bcs-kids.com today and enter promo code CENT for 20% off. Digital subscriptions also available. The Sensibles. It's the sensible thing to do.
Pure opportunity. It's what Michigan is all about. The opportunity to do more. The opportunity to connect with the best talent. The opportunity for people of all backgrounds to grow and expand their business. The opportunity to live and work in a state where paychecks go farther. The opportunity is now, and it's right here in Michigan. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to discover all the ways the Michigan Economic Development Corporation is helping Michigan thrive.
Let's be honest, nobody likes taxes, but they are necessary to maintain roads, support schools, and fund public services. Wouldn't it be great if someone else paid our taxes? In Escambia County, they do. Our beautiful community draws millions of visitors who spend over $1 billion each year. The taxes they pay help lower the tax burden for locals. Tourism works for all residents and businesses in Escambia County. This message brought to you by Visit Pensacola.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Hey Pensacola, News Radio 92.3 has it all. Pensacola Morning News, Pep Talk, Pensacola Right Now, Brian Kilmeade, Dave Ramsey. Local news, Fox News, WEAR News, traffic on the fives, Florida State football, election coverage, hurricane coverage, breaking news and weather coverage. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Oh,
as a monthly fee opt-in, then what we know is anybody who's paying that, even if it's a nominal amount, anyone who's paying that, we know is going to be motivated for it to not have contamination, right? So I think you look even in the case of ECUA, I believe in the county, presently it's opt-in, but it's opt-in free of charge. So it becomes, it also, same scenario. Yes, it's opt-in, but anyone's gonna opt in for a free can, and then it's gonna be used as a second garbage can because it's cheaper than paying for a second garbage can.
Yeah, this is Mayor D.C. Reeves yesterday during his press conference talking about the announcement, sort of pre-announcement, really. It's nothing is final, he said, but soon enough. We're going to stop curbside recycling in the city because of contamination problems. It's a problem. And then, you know, he says, look, in the county, they do it for free, which is true. I live in the county and you don't pay anything for it. And the contamination is persistent because people just think of it as a second trash can, or they don't know the rules, or. But for whatever reason, we have a major problem with contamination and recycling here in this area. Bruce Woody is the executive director of the Emerald Coast Utilities Authority, ECUA. They handle your water and your sewer and your garbage and your recycling and your, you know, mulch and tree limbs and things like that for the county and some for the city and for several other local municipalities as well here in Escambia and Santa Rosa County. Bruce, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. So let's talk a little bit about this. I know you and I have talked several times about, and we know the issue is contamination. 50% of the stuff that's going into the recycle bins, at least in the city, is not recyclable, like it's just garbage?
True, and that's a gross number overall, no pun intended, of the by volume of what comes into the recycling center that has to that is separated from things that are recyclable that ultimately have to go back to the landfill. So by weight, 50% of what comes in the front door winds up going to the landfill just because it shouldn't have been there in the first place.
And then what happens is the people who do recycling properly, their stuff gets mixed in with all of the bad stuff, and so it's ruining everybody's day, right? Because, you know, the people who are recycling properly, they're doing it right, but their stuff is going to the landfill, which is you're having to pay extra for that as a penalty, even though you're doing it right because a dummy down the street won't do it right, basically, right?
That well put. That's true.
you don't have to use the phrase dummy down the street. I can say that. But I think that's the whole point. Okay, so what is it, just people using the recycling bin as a trash container, or is it because they put stuff in there that's not recyclable? Mostly, what's the issue?
It's a little bit of both, but I think the worst of those two abuses is folks who just literally use it as a second trash can.
Okay.
Now we do get a lot of things that people put in the recycling can with very good intention. They toss in something that is made of plastic and also contains metal, so they think, well, maybe this is recyclable. But things like electrical extension cords, all that does is wind up getting wound up around equipment and causing problems. Really, all that we can recycle are the basic simple things, glass, paper, cardboard, plastic bottles with either the number one or two label on it, plastic milk jugs, aluminum cans, tin cans, those, you know, very simple, basic things. If it has a combination of materials or if you have any doubt whatsoever, please put it in the trash can instead of the recycling.
You know, that's a good way to put it. If you have any doubt, or as you say, if it's a combination of materials, what's the most... Because I know the people who are putting their trash in there, I mean, all I can fix that is by slapping them in the face. I don't know how to fix that. That's so stupid. But I know that there are a lot of people who try to recycle properly, and they just don't know the rules, and they maybe do things that get in that cause contamination inadvertently. What's the, by volume or weight, whichever you prefer to answer, what's the biggest mistake that the well-intentioned people are committing? What's the thing they put in there that they really should put in the trash?
Yeah, some of the most common things are, first off, things that tangle up in our equipment that are real problems. Electrical extension cords.
Really? Okay.
Garden hoses, things like that.
So those aren't just lark items. Those are real. That's common. People put that in the recycling.
Yes. It's in fact, it's common enough that we've even put large stickers on the side of our equipment, you know, pointing out that particular item.
Yeah.
Cloth. People throw away sheets and clothing and things like that.
What?
There are many dangerous things that get tossed. Also, batteries, and not the normal ABC AA batteries. Those are appropriate for garbage, but not for recycling. But the dangerous ones that we wind up with are lithium ion batteries, either for computers or other types of equipment. That when those get punctured or damaged, they create sparks, create heat, and cause fires.
We were
closed and had $500,000 worth of damage due to a battery fire last year.
Wow. Yeah, I remember
people
that.
People will throw away small propane containers with fuel still in them because the container's made out of metal. Those things puncture and explode, and they cause problems.
So this is wish cycling in its worst version. It's people not understanding what the rules are, thinking that they've made the world a better place when they've actually made it a significantly worse place. Okay, I guess I'm just naive because I've lived everywhere where there's been recycling. Sometimes it's, at the source. I lived in Oregon where you had to take it into you had to take your glass and cans in to be recycled. I figured there was just sort of a little bit of deviation from the rules, people putting the greasy cardboard from the pizza box in or something, and that was it. And here I find out that people are throwing all kinds of ridiculous things in there, and not just on a lark, but, really routinely. We'll come back to this in just a second. Bruce Woody is the executive director at ECUA. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Taking a look around, there's an accident. It happened a while ago, but a fatality. I-10 westbound at mile marker 11. The inside lane is blocked, so certainly use caution there and caution wherever you are. 9 Mile, Stefani and Ashland Avenue in Pensacola showing an accident, but it looks like that roadway is clear. And this is brought to you. I have problems reaching.
Stretch it out.
I'm too old. This is brought to you by Total Wine and More. So with so many bottles to choose from, there's always something new to try at Total Wine and More, like Prosecco for under $8 and a French Rosé for under $7. Total Wine and More, drink responsibly, be 21. News Radio 92. It's a weird one, right? News Radio 92.3. If you have traffic tips, text them in 437-1620.
B21, that's the best.
B21.
Back to Bruce Woody, executive director at ECUA. All right, so Bruce, so solving this problem, what about putting, a sticker or something on the can so that people can see just these five things, and keep it as simple as you can. I mean, there might be the occasional thing they really could, but you just don't want to focus on it like paper because you don't make any money. But have you guys looked into putting something on the can that says this and only this?
Yes, in fact, we've been doing some coordinating with the city of Pensacola. Now, this may change with the mayor's recent announcement, but we each have our own stickers that we've used, refrigerator magnets and other sorts of things that we give out on a regular basis to try to help promote what can and can't go in the can. And we are talking about renewing that campaign with a sticker campaign on the lids of recycling cans.
Can I make a suggestion just as a citizen? The sticker magnet that has 34 things that are acceptable, nobody will remember and nobody will read that. I'm literally, make it like you're talking to three-year-olds. Pick the four best things that you make the most money on recycling that are the best profit centers for, setting off the cost, and just say, just these five. Like, super simplify it. Just these five and nothing. I mean, I don't know. That would be my recommendation. Obviously, you guys are going to do what you need to do. On a different note, yesterday you guys had a meeting and the board voted a couple of rate increases, several rate increases, right?
Yes, it's the time of year that we review our preliminary rate setting. And last night they discussed water, wastewater, and sanitation, all three. They did make a decision to increase water and wastewater rates by 5% for fiscal year 24, which starts October 1. The biggest discussion was on the topic of sanitation, mainly regarding recycling. There were proposals to either set a rate for recycling instead of having it be just a part of the large base rate without a separate, but they went back and forth with between that and just increasing the overall base rate and spreading the cost over all of our customers. In the end, it was that second option that won out, so we are not assigning a specific recycling cost. Instead, they raised the overall base rate by 9.5% for next year to help cover the extra costs of recycling.
Okay, so trash collection will go up 9.5% if it gets ratified the second time. Recycling will continue to be no charge. and water and wastewater are going to go up 5%. Is that what I heard you say? I just want to make sure I got the numbers right.
Yes, if I can characterize it a different way rather than by percentage, $2.63 is the dollar amount change from the current rates to next year's rates. So next year's rates will be $32.80 total. By the way, that number is still less than what the city of Pensacola charges this year, and certainly quite a bit less than what they're charging for next year.
And that's for sanitation? That's for garbage pickup?
Yes.
Okay. And just, I just...
Yeah, garbage and recycling, yard waste and
dirt
waste.
And yeah, I got it. And also, just I just want to make sure, I am assuming that rate increase is basically meant to be an offset against the higher price of everything, including fuel, drivers, employees, insurance, I mean, across the board. Because unlike ad valorem taxes, which go up by nature, even if you keep the millage the same, if it's a base amount that you charge, that's not going to go up unless you actually raise the rate. Do I have that right?
Correct.
Is that enough? Is 5% and 9.5%, is that enough to offset cost increases?
Yes. 5% on the water wastewater is a comfortable number, despite the fact that CPI has been going up quite a bit higher than that. We do our best to try to keep numbers that are at or below CPI when we can. Now, the number on sanitation is higher than we would otherwise like it to be. But again, we're trying to address issues on the recycling front. Commodity prices are way down. Contamination is way up. If we can, if both of those correct themselves a little bit, that'll help us next year when we have next year's considerations.
Okay, super blunt question. I don't know what the answer is, but from a total, like everything is as it is right now, okay, would it be cheaper, just purely only the money, would it be cheaper to get rid of recycling, or will it be more cost effective to put in this rate increase? I mean, if that were the alternative, would we be better? I mean, I know we do recycling for reasons other than money, but just from an offsetting of the tipping fees and the money we make on reselling it, financially, just purely the numbers, would it make more sense to get rid of recycling?
Yeah, recycling does not pay for itself. It costs money to actually do recycling. That's the reason the private sector is doing it. Private sector would be out there doing it if there was a profit opportunity there. That it's, as you see, it's only cities and counties that are providing recycling programs, with the exception of aluminum and metal.
Right, right.
That's about the only thing where you can really make any money on. So it has to be subsidized. And so the answer to your financial question is yes, it would be less expensive.
Okay.
Overall,
and that's what I figured. I mean, that makes sense because that's why you're having to put in a costing. In part, seems like 5% would cover the just things are going up. The other is because we can't do recycling properly, but we're committed to keeping the thing. And that's what I wanted to understand. So that really helps me answer that question. Bruce Woody, he's the executive director for ECUA. Bruce, it's a dirty job, but somebody has to do it. Thanks for doing it, man. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
6:52 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
What'd you do this time, Brad?
I'm in the doghouse after my hunting trip last weekend.
Yeah, I was too. I blew off our date.
How'd you get out of the doghouse?
Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. I got her a gift card. It took 3 minutes at swmedspa.com. She booked it this Saturday.
Saturday? So 9 holes then?
Tee times at 8.
To enjoy a hassle-free guys weekend, treat her to a gift card from Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. Follow Stillwater's on Facebook or Instagram to enter contests and win great prizes. Or visit swmedspa.com.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator Method of Adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this Friday on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in, with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
When hurricanes approach,
No one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
National average for a gallon of gas, 368. Florida's 363. Mississippi is 313. Everything's gone up a dime to 15 cents. California is 492. Oh, my gosh, it jumped again. And the Walmart east in Navarre is 335. That's about 20 cents over the last couple of days. 329 west at the other Walmart. 309 still at the Circle K in Tiger Point, reportedly. That's from yesterday, though, so that might have updated since then. 319 at the foot of the Garcon Point Bridge. 343 in proper. 329 in Milton at the Raceway. Same in the P. Ridge Murphy. Same all the way through Pace. Getting over onto 9 Mile on Pensacola. In Pensacola, we've got 328 at the Walmart. 327 at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on US 29. Coming in from the southwest side, a couple of stations at 319, including the used to be the TNC, now the gas and go on Navy. These gas prices are brought to you by Pete Moore Volkswagen with the lowest out-the-door price on your next new Volkswagen. PeteMoreImports.com. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And taking a look around, good news is we're not showing any of these. Slowdowns really, well, you know, now we are. I-10 westbound, there's an accident, there was a fatality. The inside lane is blocked. So, and it looks stopped right now. It looks very, very slow if you're heading eastbound, too, also at exit 10A. So in between 110 and the Car City exit, real, real slow on I-10, both east and westbound. And again, westbound still looks blocked, even though it is down to one lane from what I can see. Certainly, if you know different or you have a traffic tip, let us know, 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Into the newsroom now. David Wayne's got our headlines. David?
The State Department says a former U.S. Marine that was previously in prison in Russia has now been hurt fighting in Ukraine. Trevor Reed now receiving medical care in Germany after stepping on a landmine. Reed was arrested back in 2019 in Moscow for intoxication, released in a prisoner swap last year. Rudy Giuliani conceding he did make defamatory statements about two Georgia election workers in an effort to settle a lawsuit against him. In a federal court filing yesterday, Giuliani said he does not contest accusations from Ruby Freeman and Shea Moss that he defamed them after the 2020 election, but he doesn't admit to causing any damages to the workers and argues the statements were protected free speech. And Mick Jagger is turning 80 today. One of the founding members of the Rolling Stones, he released his first solo album in 1985.
He's almost old enough to have another baby.
Just about. All right. Almost.
All right.
There.
Pop quiz for the room. Who's older, Mick Jagger or Helen Mirren, who is also having a birthday today?
Ooh, it's Jagger, isn't it?
It is, by 2 years, though. She's 78. Roger Taylor from Queen, 74. Dorothy Hamill, 67.
I still have her haircut.
Carrie Sharon is 62. You still have her haircut. That's funny. Oh, man. You want to feel old? You ready? You ready? Mm-hmm. Kate Beckinsale, 50.
No, she's
yes,
not.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is. Happy days. Welcome to age. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 6:58, time for
Wednesday morning future news.
Future news, and we tell you what's going to happen before it happens. Okay, who's going to win the potential trademark dispute over the property X for social media between what used to be Twitter, you don't call it Twitter, and Meta, who also owns a property, a copyright or a trademark for X?
Meta.
Yeah, I think they're different enough that it'll be okay. I'm going to go in that direction. In 3 years, are we still recycling in Escambia County?
I think you'll have to pay to do it.
You definitely have to pay to do it.
I will.
Ooh, I'm going to say no. God, I hate to say it, but the way things seem to be trending, okay, I hate to say it, but that's what I think. I hope I'm wrong. I really do. And Mike Cusack, all the stuff in Milton, is it going to turn out that he improperly interfered with, communicated with, negotiated against? Do you think this is an ethics violation?
Now that you paint it, I mean, put it out like that without facts, yeah, I guess
I'm
it might
be. I'm being cautious to wait, but I'll tell you, a lot of the stuff that came out of that meeting last night doesn't look good. I think my interpretation doesn't look good for him, so we will see.